The text for our message today is the epistle reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1. As always, I would invite you to open your Bibles to that passage if you're using the Pew Bible. You would find that on page 995. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear God, our Father, we thank you that by your grace you have brought us to hear your word, that we can be nourished by it and grow through it. Lord, we pray that you open our hearts to hear the voice of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Dear Christian friends, when my son was confirmed, my brother wasn't able to attend, and so he sent a package. And when it arrived, it was very heavy, and I wondered what in the world it could be that would be valuable enough for my brother to spend all this money to ship it. And so what I found out that it was, that he sent my son a lot of my dad's tools. That was pretty cool, but there was something else in that box. It was my dad's confirmation Bible, and with it, it had this note. By now, you've been instructed on what it means to be confirmed in the church, so you don't need me to tell you that it's the beginning of a new life, a life that is very blessed with God's incredible gifts of mercy, love, and peace. You'll find two things. First, there is your grandpa's confirmation Bible. It's very fragile, so treat it gently. It's been through a lot, just like grandpa. And this is to remind you that you have a long family history of faith. Generation upon generation has gone through the same instruction that you have now completed. Not everyone is so blessed. Grandpa is proud of you, and if he were in better health, he most certainly would have been there to celebrate your big day. Now, the second is a toolbox. It has some of Grandpa's tools. Why a toolbox? It is to be a reminder that you've been given the tools of faith handed down to you from your forefathers. And so this was a very moving gift for my son on his confirmation day, and I have to tell you that it made my wife and I kind of, you know, verklempt a number of times during that weekend as we celebrated with our family. And that weekend had a really big impact on my son as well. And I don't know how intentional it was on my brother's part, but he very clearly and powerfully reinforced the story of our family to my son. And the story of our family is that we are Christians. This is who we are. And so that gift of a Bible became a very powerful tool to establish the identity of my son as a Christian in the story of our family. And so the next day, our son would kneel before the Lord's altar. He would vow to be faithful to the Lord and to his church for his entire life and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it, just as I did, and his grandfather, and his great-grandfather, and for countless generations, for hundreds of years. And so our reading from 2 Timothy, that's exactly what Paul is doing. Look at verse 3. Paul says, "I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." And so the Bible also very clearly understands the power of story in people's lives. In the Old Testament, there was this system of festivals that would tell each year to reinforce the story of God's people. And this was especially true of the Passover, which recounted that critical event of God's people leaving Egypt by God's power. Clearly, Jesus used stories as well. We call them parables. And in the Gospel of Matthew, he takes painstaking care to connect Jesus to the Old Testament. And in doing this, he established how God's story of salvation was continued and finally fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And this is the story that we tell, especially to our children. Deuteronomy 6 says, "That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's sons, by keeping all the statutes and commandments which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. And then Deuteronomy 6 continues, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk about it when you sit in your houses and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as signs on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So how important is it that we tell the story of the Christian faith to others? Deuteronomy 6 tells us that this is just not for Sunday morning, but this is for every day of our lives, as soon as we rise, throughout the day, until we go to bed at night. Now, our culture is changing, and one of the things that is changing is that what has been generally called modernism is now changing to postmodernism, and in postmodernism, there is this general lack of emphasis on what we call objective truth. And this kind of unnerves us a little bit because the Bible speaks to us in truth. God reveals to us His truth, and that's how we're used to relating and connecting to other people. But even as this concept of truth might be diminished among other people, the concept of story is growing in importance. And we as God's people are comfortable with the idea of story. That is indeed the story of God in our lives. So what's your story? Is it a good, happy story? Now, my brother pointed out the generations of faithful Christians who held fast to the Word of God through those hundreds of years. But in our family story, no doubt there's sadness and there's heartache. There is all sorts of suffering, sin, and ultimately everybody dies. But sometimes the story needs to take a new direction than it does from the past. Your family may need a new story. I knew of this family that was trying to establish the tradition in their family that each generation would grow closer to Christ and in their commitment to God, not less so. But look at verse 9 of our text. It says, "And the Lord saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." So what's your story? The story that you share is common to all humanity, that you've sinned and you've really messed things up, but God sent a Savior, Jesus Christ. And we could write our own psalm of praise to God, a psalm of our history to tell to our children. We can tell our children all of the praiseworthy deeds, what God has done in our lives. And it would begin with the most wonderful deed of all, the most praiseworthy act that God is known for, that He sent His Son to take away our sins, that Jesus has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And so without a doubt, this is the most praiseworthy thing that we could ever say of God, that God, in that great event that occurred on Calvary's mountain, that there a child was sacrificed, and this child was the Son of God, that the holy, innocent child, Jesus Christ, was nailed to the cross. Yes, put there by His parent, not for selfish reasons, but rather that we might know the love of God in the world. This child is Jesus Christ. He went to the slaughter of the cross so that people with messed up stories can have a good story. And that God doesn't look at us with anger and wrath because of our sin, but rather He sees His children of faith with love. And in Christ, we have become beautiful because our sins are washed away once for all. This is the most praiseworthy thing that God has done for us. But it doesn't stop there. So much of what God does for us, we can only see by faith. And so it is with eyes of faith that we know that the Word of God is working powerfully in our hearts. We know by faith that His angels are constantly surrounding us, keeping us safe, keeping watch over us every day. But it doesn't stop there. God continues to bless us with all sorts of physical, material blessings as well. So many more than we could ever count, for our jobs, for our homes, for the food He provides, for our children. And yes, we thank God that we can wake up in the morning and we can get out of bed. And we thank God that we're not only able to get out of bed, but He gives us the courage to face another day. Last week we talked about developing a culture among us in which we gladly and willingly invite other people in our congregation to be a part of this love, that we have an all-in love for God that we want to share with others. And you know, this can seem kind of intimidating. You know, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I get asked a question that I don't know the answer to? Well, don't worry. Just tell your story. Your story of God in your life. You might tell the story about how you strayed from God, maybe even shook a fist at Him at one point, but He still sought you, and He found you, and He brought you home to live with Him forever. And you can tell the story about how God was with you in the darkest moments of your life, and with the most mountaintop experiences of joy. Just tell the story. What's your story? It's not a series of cold facts like you would read in a history book. But when we tell others about the wonderful things, the praiseworthy things which God has done for us, it's not facts to be recited, but a love story of a God who cared, a God with a reckless love that continued to seek us and to find us. It is the story of a God who walked with us every step of the way, a God who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So how can we not get a lump in our throats and, you know, tears in our eyes as we think of everything that God has done for us? And won't our hard hearts melt in thanksgiving for the patient, giving, caring love that this God has shown to us for our entire lives? And if nothing else will make a stop, then the vision of God's love for us on the cross in Jesus Christ should melt our heart to tears. Praise be to Jesus that He went to the cross, that He went there to suffer for me and for you, that He suffered the insults of men, that He suffered the agony and the pain of crucifixion and the humiliation of death, so that our sins once for all would be wiped away forever and ever. And this is the story that we tell. When we tell other people, you know, we don't approach them and say, you know, I've got the truth. People may not want to hear that. But they will listen when you share about how Jesus is your Lord and God, and that you might wipe a tear from your eye as you think of His love, His all-in love that has taught us the very definition of love itself. And we tell that story of how God's plan to save me and to save you was threaded all the way through countless generations until the very day when Jesus stopped me and blessed me with His love. And that's His plan for you too. In the name of Jesus, amen.